Hare Krishna. So first of all, we want to thank Lokanath Maharaj for very wonderful scholarly but very rustic presentation of Balaram. Lokanath Swami Maharaj ki. We have cartels here? I see Mridanga. We have Mridanga wala? No, I don't want. I need my hands. So just to put us in mood of Balaram, we'll sing a nice song mentioning the name of Balaram. As we were discussing, Balaram is the older brother, Dao. We say Dao, Dada, Dao. So all over Braj he's known as Daoji Maharaj. All right. Par karenge naya re bajo Krishna kaneya. Par karenge naya re bajo Krishna kaneya. Par means to cross. Just like Delhi has expanded on the opposite side of Jamuna, so they call that Delhi Jamuna Par. Across the Jamuna. Par karenge, Naya means the boatman, and our boat is the singing the name of Krishna Kaneya. We're going to cross over this ocean of material existence or this ocean of Kali by singing the name of Krishna Kaneya. Par karenge, Naya re bajo Krishna Kaneya. Par karenge naya re bajo Krishna kaneya. Krishna kaneya Dauji kabaiya. Krishna kaneya Dauji kabaiya. Par karenge naya re bajo Krishna kaneya. Par karenge par karenge naya re bajo Krishna kaneya. Krishna kaneya Dauji kabaiya. Krishna kaneya Dauji kabaiya. Bansuri bajaiya. Bansuri bajaiya. Makana chureya. Makana chureya. Gaya chareya. Gaya chareya. Giribaruteya. Giribaruteya. Rasalateya. Rasalateya. Par karenge naya re bajo Krishna kaneya. Par karenge naya re bajo Krishna kaneya. Par karenge naya re bajo Krishna kaneya. Krishna kaneya lal ki. Bolo Sri Dauji Maharaj Ki. Hare Krishna. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sabadandigam Adadanaschinandantai Vridam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padambujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vebhacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Also in Garga Samhita there's a very beautiful description of Balaram. Shankar could endure Swedanga Baladev. Shankar could endure Swedanga Baladev. Shankar, we all know, means conch, because Balaram, he's white, just like we see this beautiful conch shell. Shankar Kunda. Just now, if we go to Bihariji, we'll see big power palaces made with mogra and jasmine flowers. They come in this season. But in the cold season, they don't come. Then there's another very white flower called Kunda, with little tiny pinkish highlights. Tiny pinkish highlights on it. That comes in the wintertime. And it's very, very white, with little pinkish highlight on it. So Balaram, he's white like the Kunda flower. Shankar Kut Indu. Indu is another name for the moon. Shankar Kut Indu Swet. Just like Sweta Dui. Sweta we know means white. Just like in Russia, the very famous name, Svetlana. So Sveta means white. Anga we know means limbs. So Baladev, he's white like the kancha, like the kunda flower, like the moon, and his all limbs are white. So before we begin, we should speak something about the nomenclature for this day. Because some people are saying Balaram Jayanti. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in one of the harmonists, he wrote a whole article. The Jayanti refers to the particular configuration of the stars at the appearance of Lord Krishna. I'm not an astrologer, I can tell you, but all the stars were in a certain place, and I remember it was Rohini Nakshatra. That much I remember. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes that Jayanti can only be used for Krishna. Because nowadays it's become very fashionable. Everybody's got his Jayanti, Gandhi Jayanti, Nehru Jayanti, this Jayanti, that Jayanti. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but not for any other Vishnu Tattva even, can we use the word Jayanti. It's only for Krishna. This is Balaram Purnima, Balaram Avrav, appearance day of Balaram, whatever you want to say. That is the proper nomenclature for this holy day. Second thing is, why are we celebrating today? Somebody asked me this morning, should I go to Baladev? Just like Maharaj was mentioning, one place is there on Gokul side called Baladev. I said, nothing will be happening there. Because all the Brijbasis, on the authority of Garga Samhita, I've heard from many scholars that our Goswamis very carefully took stuff from Garga Samhita. Because Garga Samhita describes that Balaram was born on the day we celebrate as Lalita Sasti. They call it Balaram Chat. So if Lalita's appearance day you go to Dauji, you'll see a big festival there. So then why are we celebrating on the Purnima? Especially Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Jiva Goswami, especially in Gopal Champu. He has described that Balaram was born on the Shravan Nakshatra. Because this month that we're just ending today, Purnima means the end, this is called Shravan. On our Vaishnava calendar we say Sridhar, but commonly it's known as Shravan, first month of rainy season. First month of Chaturmas. So Shravan Nakshatra can only come, Shravan Purnima, excuse me, can only come when the moon is in Shravan Nakshatra, that means on this day. That's why this whole month is called Shravan. And second thing, if he was born after Krishna, because now that Ladita Sasti will come in a few more, another 10 days or so, then it would mean that Balaram was born 1 year and several days before Krishna. But we read in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Mahachakravarti Raja of all Praman, all evidence, that Krishna and Balaram, they had their name-giving ceremony together. They first began to crawl on their hands and legs together. They took their first step together. Everything in Maharaj Vasprani, they did everything together. So if Balaram was 1 year and several days older than Krishna, that would mean he didn't have a name for 1 year. They both, Bhagavatam describes, they both began to speak their first words together. Nanda, Baba. Means Balaram was dumb for 1 year, he couldn't speak. Because we see after a few months, children begin to speak. By 1 year, they're speaking very nicely. So pointing out all of these things, Jiva Goswami has established that Balaram was born on this Balaram Purnima day, this Shravan Purnima day. That's why we as Gaudiya Vaishnavas are celebrating today. You will see Oliver Braj on the Chat, on the sixth day of the bright half of the month of Bhadra, which is the next month that's going to start tomorrow. So that's why we're celebrating this Balaram Purnima today. So, as we heard, Balaram didn't appear in the womb of Devaki. It's described that was Mool Sankarshan. It's just like we know Krishna never leaves Braj, so Balaram also, he never leaves Braj. For ordinary people, we say that Balaram appeared there in Devaki's womb and came here to Rohini's womb. But actually that original Baladev, Prabhu, he was already within the womb of Rohini. The beginning of this month of Shravan, first day of Shravan, then to protect her, Vasudev sent her to Braj. So on this Purnima day, Rajmaraj described 5 days before, that Mool Sankarshan, who was in the womb of Devaki, merged with the original Baladev, who was here in Braj. He merged with that original Baladev. And then on the Purnima day, he appeared. So he's almost just like Krishna's twin. That's why we find we're doing everything together. In fact, there's one kund in Nandagam called Sarsi Kund. Because there's a bird you see when you're traveling around on Prikama. Big, tall, gray birds. One of the tallest birds in Asia. The biggest birds in Asia called Saras. They're big, tall, and gray, and then they have a big red dot on their head. And you'll never see one. You'll see 2, 3, 4, I've seen up to 16, 17 together, but never one. So Mother Rohini and Mother Yasoda were thinking, these two brothers, they're always together, they're just like Saras. So that Kun became known as Sarsi Kun. They're like Sarsi twins. They do everything together. So they almost appear together. Now, 1 year, we were very fortunate. Radha Govind Maharaj spoke on English for us on Balaram Purnima. And he described, there's one great Vaishnava, I've forgotten his name. He's written in his book some interesting facts about this appearance of Lord Balaram. Because we were just hearing that while that Mool Sankarshan was in the womb of Devaki, then Krishna, he called Yogmaya. And first thing he said was, "Hey Badri, O auspicious one." Because when the Lord or the Guru gives order, he gives the energy, the mercy, to carry out that order. Because now he's going to give heavy order. She has to take that Mool Sankarshan from Devaki's womb and transferred to him. That's, we know that is another form we just heard is Anantashesh, who's holding up all the planets. And she's going to have to carry that fellow who's holding all the planets. But Krishna said, hey Badri, just to encourage her. So now you take this garb of Devaki and you transfer it to the womb of, to Gokul, to Rohini. Because of that, because he was forcibly attracted, just like we know the word Krishna means all attractive, because attractive means akarshan. Somehow by Sandhi in Sanskrit, it was funny things happen, it becomes Krishna. From Karshana becomes Krishna. So he was attracted, so he'll be known as Sankarshan. And he will give great pleasure to his family members, he will be known as Ram. And he will be very, very strong, he'll be known as Balabhadra. So this Vaishnava has written a book that this is very significant, that Krishna, before the birth of Balaram, he gave all of the names. He says, because somebody may get some doubt. We are saying that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Balaram is the older brother. So how is that possible that he's the Supreme? So just so nobody will get any doubt, Krishna gave all the names. Because that Vaishnava describes that who gives the name to the child? At least mother and father, if not grandfather or grandmother or uncle or auntie, some superior person gives the name, right? The child doesn't give the name, the superior person. So Krishna gave all the names of Balaram before his appearance just to show he's in the supreme, just to allay all of our doubts. As we heard, Balaram, he's 98% Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he's appearing as older brother. That's another story we can discuss some other day. But anyway, he's appearing as older brother. But Krishna gave all the, showing that he's in the superior position. He gave all the names. So when Mool Sankarshan was merged within the body of Baladev Prabhu in the womb of Rohini, then everyone in Mathura understood that Devaki had a miscarriage. So now Kansa was getting most worried. Eighth child is coming. He was very worried. Now eighth child will come. I have to get this one. So on this particular day, Purnima day, in Gokul, Baladev Prabhu made his appearance. But in Ananda Vrindavan Champu and also in Gopal Champu, it describes a very interesting thing. Because ordinarily, as soon as a child is born, first thing he does is cry. And after a few days, he begins to open his eyes and do so many things. But Balaram was just, he didn't cry. And he was practically inert. Inert, we say Jad, just like Jad Bharat. He was like a Jadvastu. But one strange thing was there, whenever Yasoda would come to see Mother Rohini, and she would take that little child on her lap, as soon as he was on the lap, because Krishna's in the womb of Mother Yasoda, immediately Baladev became very active. He opened his eyes and began. And as soon as Rohini takes him back, it's not till 8 days later on the Krishnastami, Krishna Paksha Astami day of the month of Bhadra, which begins tomorrow, then Baladevi becomes very, very active. And we heard that Balaram has got a plow and a, we say club because in English we don't have any word. We have all words for, you know, Blu-ray, DVD, we have all these weird technical terms. But we don't have terms for transcendental objects. But everywhere we go in Braj, we'll see that he doesn't really have a club like Hanuman. He has a mushal, just like we were saying, mushaline, moline, some other name was there. A nice verse was there. And our very dear godbrother, Bhakti Visramba Madhav Maharaj, he took the old club, Hanuman club we had, he melted it down, he made it into a very beautiful gold-plated mushal. It's shaped something like a pregnant baseball bat. Like this. It's got a little space here where you can hold it, and a little space up here to hold the hand, and it's shaped like this, round at the end. And you take that, and you pound the rice. You put the rice in a little depression in the ground, and you pound it because you have to get the husk off of the rice. Just like the end of Kartik, if you go on Prikamat with Lokanath Maharaj, then you'll see you'll be passing through all the rice fields, and the rice is just ripening. And in the wintertime, we're surrounded by wheat. And wheat, if you take the wheat and you squeeze out the little wheat berry and eat it, it's very sweet. So I thought maybe the rice on the plant, you know, before it's harvested, maybe that will also be very sweet. But it's got this little husk, which has got little edges like this. And you try and chew on it, then those little husks, they're all pointed one way, so it only wants to go one way down your throat, and you're sitting there. Don't try it with the rice. It works with the wheat, but don't try it with the rice. So that rice, that husk, that is a useless thing. Useless. Useless means anart. There'll be no in Bhagavad Art Arti who wants some wealth, some useful thing. Art is a very useful thing. So that husk, it is useless. Anart. Because we have heard from all of our acharyas, Baladev, he's the original guru. So the first business as guru is to get rid of all of our anartas within our hearts. So Balaram has got this, not a club, but a mushal for pounding our hearts to get rid of all this anartas, all this useless stuff. So we can get essence, what is Krishna Bhakti? We want to get Krishna Bhakti. So sometimes if you go to temples in Braj, you'll see what a mushal is. They make them very beautifully, all different colors and very nice. And he's got a plow for doing the agriculture of the living entities. Because the end of the summer, sometimes I used to stay permanently in Brindakun, or most of the month I would stay there. Then I saw, end of the summer, all the earth is baked hard, like a stone. It's just like a stone. Now, if you want to cultivate something, you need soft field. It won't grow in a stone-like thing. So before the rains come, in the old days, he used to take plows. That's why Lord Balaram's got a plow. He has to plow up our heart. Our heart is hard as stone. So we have to make it soft so that Bhakti Lata Beej will come. It has nice soft place to sprout. Otherwise, our heart is just baked by all these burning, lusty desires have baked our heart very hard. The bhakti won't sprout there. And I've seen living, because nowadays they don't use bulls anymore. They decided to kill all the bulls and use the tractor. The tractor is the enemy of the bull. By using tractors, the bull has become useless, so they kill them all. You wonder why you don't see so many. We see bulls, but we see thousands and thousands of cows. We see a few bulls. It's an unfortunate situation of Kali Yuga. But I see that the farmer himself, he comes out, they used to use plow and bull, but now they use their tractor. He does that. He plows up the field. That's the hardest part, to get that kshetra, that field ready for the planting. Then after the rains come, and the farmer, he sits back, these guys come from Rajasthan, and he pays them. They're just paid workers. They go around putting the rice in the field. He does the hard work, and then everybody else comes behind, does all the planting and pulling out the weeds. You see, he hires so many people. And it's funny, they're all from Rajasthan, at least here in this area, all the people who plant the rice. But Rajasthan is famous for being a very dry place. So I asked one of the workers, you live in a dry place, why do you know this rice planting? I said, Baba, this teaches everything. They don't have anything to plant there, so they come over here and plant the rice. And they pull out the weeds. So like that, The hard part is plowing and making the field ready. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he's the full manifestation of Balaram. He took his plow and went through the whole world and plowed it all up, made it a kshetra ready for that Bhakti Lata beach to come. Nobody else could do it. Nobody else thought, how can we go to the West? It's not that somebody gave Prabhupada a plane ticket, just like nowadays they send you a plane ticket, come, please come for Jamasami, please come for this festival, come for that, come for Rath Yatra. Baba didn't have any, there was no plane ticket, there was no PR firm, there was nothing. Because he was the full manifestation of Balaram's mercy, he went to the West, anyway, anyhow, somehow Krishna arranged for him to get a free ticket. And not on a 787 Dreamliner, he went on a boat, the Jaladuta. He had two heart attacks, boat is rough, you know, they're rocking like this, and you get... That took a toll on Srila Prabhupada. But he plowed up the whole world and made it ready. Even in Gaudiya Math, they admit, Swami Maharaj, he plowed up the whole world for us. We're just coming behind him. Even they admit they couldn't do it. But Prabhupada did it. He plowed up the whole world. He's the full manifestation of Balaram's mercy. Shaktivesh Avatar. The rest of us, we're just the hired workers coming around and harvesting the rice, putting the plants. We're just the little hired workers. We think we're very special. We're very big devotees. But Prabhupada did the hard work. He plowed up. He did the work of Balaram and plowed up the whole world, made it ready for us to come behind and plant little bhakti lata bijas and collect devotees and like that. We're just the hired workers. Prabhupada was the real thing. So, of course, one of my favorite pastimes, as Maharaj was saying, was the Dhenukasura in Talwan. Just down the road, when you're going down the highway towards Agra, and you'll see a big, ugly copy of the Taj Mahal, you go take the road right beside that, and you'll come to Madhuvan. And if you continue, it's a very rough road. The buses won't go that way. You have to... If you have a rough car or jeep, you can go. Then you'll come to Talavan. And Talavan is known for tal fruits. Although it's known for tal, it's called Talavan. Now there's only about two or three tal trees there. And they're not very tall. If you go in Orissa and Bangla, then you will see big, tall trees. But they're very small. And the fruits, they ripen. This is a season, in a rainy season. You'll see they look like, almost like barrel-shaped eggplants. They're blackish, like eggplants. And then gradually they start turning orange with some of that little eggplant color. Purplish highlights are there. And they're very, very sweet. One time we came to Talavan because Kartik was very early that year, so it was... Still a couple of tal fruits were left on the tree. So at that time, the Mahant there was my good friend, Priyasaran. So immediately called one of his disciples, climbed up, grabbed them, turned them into juice. They're very stringy, so it's easier to make them into a juice and strain out all the strings into the juice. And very sweet, you don't have to put any sugar. So immediately he had to make some tal juice, and all the devotees were pouring out their bish lahari. Bish means poison. Lahir means it's waves. Waves of poison. Bish lahir. We just drink bridge water. We're pouring out their bish lahir, and they were filling up with all this tal juice and drinking tal juice. Very nice. So it's described that one day Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys were playing, and the breeze was carrying the aroma of the tal fruits. So I speculated that they must have been on the western side of Talavan, between Talavan and Govardhan. Because having lived here for so many years, I've seen that in the hot season, the wind blows from the west, the Lu. This hot wind blows off the Rajasthani desert, the Lu. But as soon as rainy season comes, then suddenly cool breeze becomes from the east. And I know that the tall fruits ripen during the rainy season. So I figured that if they were smelling, they must have been on the western side because the breeze was coming from the west. Now our Bhanu Swami and Mahanidhi Swami have published this Sar Artha Darshani Tika. And there Biswanath Chakravarti describes the same thing. That the tall fruits come in the rainy season. Rainy season wind is blowing from the east. So the Kahur boys were on the western side. So my speculation was right. And they said, "Oh, Kaniya, this nice smell of tall fruits is coming from Talavan. And we're very hungry." Because Brijbasi boys, 24 hours a day, they're hungry. Either for food or for money, that we have experienced. But there's a big demon there named Denukasura. And he guards that garden. And he's a servant of Kamsa. Kamsa was very powerful. All those other demons that we hear about, they were all conquered by Kamsa. That's how powerful he was. When he conquered them, they surrendered and became his servants. So Denukasura was, with all his ass friends, they were watching over this tall forest. And they sent all the fruits to Kamsa. And whatever was left over, they enjoyed amongst themselves. And they never let any Brijbasi or any Vaishnava ever enjoy those tall fruits. So then, when they made a plea like that, that this Denukasura is guarding this forest, and we're really hungry, then Krishna, he looked at Baladev Prabhu. Because Krishna, he can't kill this Denukasura demon. Because there's a story behind him. He was a descendant of Prahlad Maharaj. And in one of the Puranas it describes that one benediction that Prahlad took was that Lord would not kill any of his descendants. So this Sahasik, he was enjoying in the Nandankanan, the forest of the demigods, with some apsara named Tilotama. Just so happened that Durvasa Rishi was there in that same forest doing his meditation. And he heard all their lovemaking sounds and he became disturbed. So he cursed them. "You're just like an ass, so you become an ass." So, of course, he begged forgiveness. He said, "Don't worry, Lord Balaram will come in for you." So because Sahasik, he was the descendant of Prahlad Maharaj, Krishna can't kill him. So he looked at Baladev, he winked at Baladev. "It's your turn. This one's on you." So Baladev, he understood the situation that Krishna can't kill him because he promised Prahlad Maharaj. So Baladev went and he began to shake the tall tree like this. Now there's small tall trees there in Talavan. And I've tried to push on them with both hands, and not even a millimeter I can move. And Baladev was with one hand just shaking like this, and all the fruits were falling down. Thud, 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 thud. So you've seen donkeys, they get big ears. So Denukasura, hear all this, thud, 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 thud. Somebody is stealing our fruits. So Mili came there, and the first thing he did, first wrong thing he did, he turned his back on Baladev. If some great personality is there, or the Lord is there. It's like some temples are very strict. One time I was in ecstasy and was describing about how Gopal Bhatta found the Shaligram Shila that turned into Radharman. And somehow I turned my back and boy, the pujaris and devotees, they just smashed me like anything. Because I was in ecstasy, I turned my back on Radharman. You don't put your back. He turned his back. Not only he turned his back, then with his hooves he began to kick on Baladev's chest. But we know Baladev's chest is just as hard as a thunderbolt. So he felt it just like somebody has dropped a flower garland on his chest. But Baladev Prabhu, he became very angry. He grabbed the hind legs of that Denukasura, and he swung him around and around just by the centrifugal force. His life air came out of his body, and he threw him into the top of a tall tree, and that tall tree fell and hit another tall tree, and that one hit another one, and another one, another one, and brr-bap-bap-bap-bap-bap-bap through the whole forest. All the tall trees came crashing down like that. So then, all of the other ass demons, they attacked. They said, oh, our leader has been killed. They began to sing their poetry. Now Krishna rolled up his sleeves. He got into the act also. And they began to throw all of the ass demons up into the trees. Bing, bing, bing. And they're all different colors. Some are white, some are gray, some are black. It looked like so many different clouds were in the trees. And the whole forest was a big mess. Big bloody mess. So the cowboys, they didn't eat tall fruits that day because it was pretty messy. But there was Pulindas. The tribal people were living there in the forest. They ate those. They didn't mind. So they ate those. But this is rainy season, so very soon that forest became clean from all the mess of the big fight. So then all the cowboys and Krishna and Balaram used to come there and eat all of those tall fruits. And Kamsa suddenly realized that his supply of tall fruits was cut off. Now my favorite pastime of Lord Balaram was mentioned, Maharaj mentioned, about Balaram did his rasa dance. So we were just there yesterday. It was so sweet. It was so cool. And the rainy season breezes were blowing. And no one's there to harass you. Like everywhere we go, everybody's... Although this is the land of Atma Gyan, nobody sees us as Atma. This is a spiritual place. Everybody has Atma Gyan. But nobody sees us as Atma. They take off the last A. You take off the last A of Atma, what do you have? ATM. They come with their little ATM card. Nobody's there to bother you. Beautiful trees are there. Jamuna is so glorious right now. She was just shining with a special effulgence in that place. So in this very beautiful place, Balaram came from Dwarka to pacify all the residents of Braj. And especially, as we heard, he has his own set of gopis. So there in this beautiful Jamuna Upavan called Ramgat. Actually, if you ask anybody for Ramgat, the Brishbazis will just look at you with blinking eyes. Nobody knows this place is Ramgat. All the Brishbazis call this place Ancha Dauji. You have to ask for Ancha Dauji. Ancha is Brishbasa for Kinch. Because we're going to hear how Balaram pulled Kinch. He pulled the Jamuna. So in Brishbasi, you say Ancha. So he's called Ancha Dauji, who pulled the Jamuna. If you ask for Ancha Dauji, then, oh, you go that way, go that way. So he was dancing there on the bank of the Jamuna in this beautiful forest. And Varuna, the god of the water, sent his daughter there in the form of Varuni, his daughter named Varuni, in the form of honey flowing from the trees. And the whole forest became filled with the scent. And Lord Balaram, he caught the scent. He began to drink this honey wine. Because honey, or even sugar, just like on Sunday feast, after Sunday feast, we used to finish off all of the halava and sweet rice. And we would end up rolling on the floor laughing because we became so intoxicated. So Balaram drank all this honey. He became completely intoxicated. So when you're intoxicated, you know, I mean, better, actually you shouldn't know, but anyway, you become a little lazy. So Baladev, he thought, let's take bath in Jamuna. So he didn't want to go there. He said, Aja, come here, without any respect. So Jamuna was insulted, just Aja. With very crude language, he was calling her, so she refused to come. So then Prabhupada said, three things happen when you get drunk. Either you become happy, you become sad, or you become angry. So Balaram, he became very angry. His beautiful eyes were rolling and his head became reddish. with anger. He said, all right, you're not going to come. He took his plow and he just dragged, kinch, ainch. He pulled Jamuna there so they could take their bath. So my godbrother translated a very beautiful book called Bhakti Ratnakar. And he describes, this is from my godbrother Pundarik Vidyaniti translated the fifth chapter of Bhakti Ratnakar as Mathura Mandala Prakama. And it describes Ramgat very beautifully. First, we have to get my other set of eyes here. Janma Ritu Jara Vyadi. Balaram was the second body of Krishna himself, and his depth was like millions of oceans. He came to Vraj from Dwarka and stayed for 2 months of Chaitra and Vaisakh. The month of Falgun, we know when Gopranima is there, the next month that is called Chaitra, the next month is called Vaisakh. To console Sri Nanda, Yasoda and others, he pleased his friends in various ways. Then Balarav gave solace to all the Krishna Priyas and charmed his own dear loving gopis by having his leelas with them. Only a learned devotee can describe the beauty of these celestial activities. In Sri Krishna Chaitanya Charitra, Mahari Gupta says, just see, at this place, Rama, decorated with gold and jewel ornaments and suitably dressed for spring, engaged in amorous pastimes in a merry mood with his own beautiful gopis. They are overflowing with ecstatic mellows as they join their lovely girlfriends in dancing and singing. The gopis who were not fortunate enough to associate with Krishna forgot their sorrow when Balaram performed his leela with them. The gopis who were dancing with Balaram, they were his own gopis, and those who were too young or for some other reason couldn't go to Krishna's rasleela, they joined in Balaram's rasleela. How Balaram increased their enjoyment is beyond description. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated that Bhagawan Sri Balaram stayed in Braj for 2 months and supplied divine enjoyment to the gopis each night. Sri Bhagavata continues to describe the beauty of Balaram. O Srinivas, knowing that he would perform his Rasleela with his best lovers, Balaram happily came to this place. This pleasant spot, situated on the banks of the Jamuna, was continually filled with scented air. Chaitra and Vaisakh means springtime, all the flowers are blossoming. The flowers of the garden were in full bloom, and the sky was bright due to the full moon. The humming of the bumblebees and the sweet whistling of different birds surcharged the atmosphere. Millions of male and female peacock danced. Ew, ew. Balaram relaxed beneath a tree. The guards in heaven sang the glories of Rohini Nandan, whose beauty and posture could fascinate the whole world. The following is a song, Glory to the Valiant Rohini Nandan. The white conch, kunda flowers, camphor, and the silver white mountain bow to Balaram's beautiful white complexion. You want to hear that again? The white conch, kunda flowers, camphor, and the silver white mountain bow down to Balaram's beautiful white complexion. His curly hair, the beauty of his carefree locks on his forehead, and his bright tilak steals the hearts of the young maidens. His lotus eyes are restless, and his eyebrows dance like black bumblebees near his bright earrings. With a short nose and a face that conquers the splendor of the moon, it seems like nectar pours from his body. His arms are decorated with bangles and jewel necklaces adorn his chest. His thin waist makes the lion feel insignificant, and his blue dress enhances his figure. His thighs and feet fascinate those who see him. O Srinivas, who can keep his composure seeing the splendor of Baladev? It was here at Ramgat that Ram sat on a jeweled throne in a graceful Ramotsav dress. The beauty of Baladev conquers millions of Kamadevs, and every moment he charms the Munis and Indras. The glory of his body, which brightens the three worlds, can win the pride of millions of moons. The silky, curly black hair covering his head is decorated with a jewel-set crown and flowers. His lips are as red as a bimba fruit, and his teeth sparkle like pearls. A necklace of Vyjayanti beads dangles from his neck. The reddish color of the soles of his feet defeat the sun at sunrise, and the brightness of his nails conquers the darkness. I am unable to describe the beauty of Baladev. There is no comparison in the whole world. Whoever observes the gracefulness of Baladev is the most fortunate person. In the Puranas it is written as follows. In this place, Rohini Nandan Balaram stood in a threefold bending form and blew joyfully on his horn, the sound of which moved the heart of Brahma and others. O Srinivas, with one mouth only, how can I describe the beauty of Balai's Leela? Here in this moonlit Yamuna Upavan, Balaram engaged in Leela surrounded by millions of gopis. In that Upavan near the Yamuna, which was flooded with bright moonlight and covered with scent of lotuses, Balaram performed his Ras Leela. Then Varuni Devi, sent by her father Varuna, flowed from a hole in the tree and filled the entire atmosphere with the sweet scent of wine. Baladev breathed the scent and drank the wine with his beloved gopis. Raghava continued, after drinking wine, Rohini Nandan engaged in divine lovemaking with his gopis. Some of the gopis played mridangas, ranikas, veenas, and other instruments, while other gopis sang the glories of Balaram in beautiful songs based on melodious tunes and beats. Lord Brahma and others were moved by the music. Sri Balaram himself became overwhelmed by the dance and songs and music. Soon the Ras Mandir was filled with celestial joy. To enjoy water sports with his lovers, Balaram brought the Yamuna nearby, pulling her with his plow, and then sported in her waters. After bathing, Balaram changed his dress, drank honey wine, and spent the night with his beloveds. In the early morning, the gopis could not bear their separation from Balaram and did not want to return to their homes. Balaram consoled them in many ways and sent them to their houses. Out of fear for Balaram, Yamuna offered him prayers, and folding her hands, she threw herself at his lotus feet and surrendered to him. When by her own quiet nature, Yamuna was flowing to the South Ocean, she did not respond to the order of Balaram, and thus he pulled her with his plow. In this place, the Yamuna can be seen as she is. I sing the glories of this place with my devoted heart. From Stavavali, Vrajavilasa, Stava. Oh, Sri Daoji Maharaj Ki. So, it's almost time for Abhishek. So, with these words, we'll put our voice to rest. And we can all get ready for wonderful Abhishek of Krishna and Balaram.